Apple has come up with the idea of iMacs and iPods and iWatches and iPhones and iTunes. But ironically, though it really, Apple did shape the world of technology, especially the technology people buy. Years later, Steve Jobs had an interview in Wired magazine, and he said this: "The problem is, I'm older now. I'm 40 years old, and this stuff doesn't really change the world. We're born, we live for a brief instant, and we die. And technology is not changing it at much at all." What a sobering reality. And Steve Jobs, before his death, was the pinnacle of kind of worldly success in the fame and fortune category. But in many ways, he found it was all for nothing. He'd spent his time, his energy, his money, his life pouring into creating high-tech devices. But he hoped they would revolutionize the world. And yeah, they've made an impact. But later he realized it wouldn't totally change everything. In fact, as you well know, every 6 months something newer, faster, smaller, and more expensive comes out. In the end, for Steve Jobs, that doesn't really matter because he invested in what was temporal, physical, and material instead of what's eternal and spiritual and immaterial. Well, if you look through the book of Acts, in fact, you look through the rest of the New Testament, you will find that the followers of Jesus invested in what would last. And they knew the thing to change the world was getting the message of Jesus Christ crucified, risen, reigning out to the world. And that's what they did. They said, we want to get this message out so that people can be reconciled to God and have a living relationship with Jesus out. And 2,000 years later, that's still the case. The best way to change the world is not invest in technology, but invest in the lives of people around us. God says in his word, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And so we really want to ask the question, what are we investing in? What are we pouring ourselves into as individuals, but as well as a church? There's lots of great things we can be doing. There's lots of social programs we can put on. We could have great socials as a church. But we've got to be asking ourselves, where should we go? Because we don't want to run in the wrong direction. We want to make sure we're doing what we're called to do. And so for the last few weeks, we've had a series on our mission statement. And for the last number of months, the board and Team 2020, we've wrestled about what's the purpose of the church? Where should we be going? You know, Jesus gave his marching orders, make disciples. And we've wrestled and come to terms with around here to make disciples. It's our desire for everyone to gather and worship, to grow through small groups, to give of ourselves. And lastly, as we'll talk about today, to go with the good news of Jesus to change the world. Well, let me pray, and then we're going to press ahead. Lord, this morning, help me to decrease and you increase. May your glory be seen, even through an imperfect messenger. But Lord, may the message be stated loud and clear and get through. Lord, we need you every hour, I sure do. And help us to grasp your goodness, your grace, your peace, your mercy, your amazing love. Help us joyfully join with you because it's your desire that peoples everywhere will hear your good news and have the opportunity to respond to you. How incredible it is that God, that the Lord of the universe invites us to take part in your great crusade to save the world. Give us the courage, Father, and give us the willingness to join in with you. Help us, Father, to share your life-giving, life-transforming, wonderful good news with those around us. And we will give you the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So here we are, gathered, and we're hopefully growing. We give, and now it's going. Before God created the world, he had a plan. And it's good he had it in motion because he knew from the very beginning Adam and Eve were going to blow it. But right away he stepped in and said, listen, I am going to deal with this. I am going to send someone who will take care of the sin problem that we have. And the great thing is he carried out his plan. And his plan was to gather a family together that will love him and live with him forever. Listen to this from Ephesians. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You are dearly loved children. I am too. I sometimes act like a badly behaved child, but God still is committed to us. And I'm so glad. And we can always come to Him. But we are dearly loved. And that's what God wants for more and more people, to be adopted into His forever family. And He wants every tribe, tongue, and nation all around the world and in our neighborhood to know Him. And that's what history is leading towards. And that's why if you read the book at Revelation, you're going to say, wow, life is tough. It's getting crazy. Well, we could see that. It gets really crazy. And then the end comes. Jesus is worshipped and adored by all people. New heavens and new earth. And boy, what a celebration that never ends. Well, in Children's Sunday School, we are going through the Answers in Genesis curriculum. And it is great. And today we learned about the seven seas of history. This isn't the Red Sea, the Black Sea, the Adriatic, and the South China. This is creation, corruption, sin, you know, catastrophe, the flood, and the Tower of Babel, Christ, the cross, and then the final consummation. Because as we're teaching the kids, and as I communicate with you, we don't just want to go, the Bible is this random collection of stories. There's a flow to it. God creates, and then as I talked to the kids, what happened next? It was good, and then it was bad, 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 bad. And then it was good, bad, good. But God is working. He's got this plan, though. But ultimately, it's about people connecting with Him. And this gospel will be delivered to all people, and then the end will come. And the amazing thing is God has given us the privilege, and God has said to us, you can play a role in this. Pastor Randy Duncan said this, this is not Mission Impossible. This isn't Mission Possible. This is Mission Inevitable, and we get to be part of it. God's plans will succeed. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And the way for God's plan to move forward was He'd chosen a people, Abraham, the children of Israel, and eventually in the fullness of time, He sent a Savior, but not just to the Jews, but for all people. And then He told His disciples, I want you to pass the message along. And so those first followers did, and then they passed to others, and it went down to others. Over 2,000 years, people kept responding. And then sometime in the mid to late 70s, a junior church in a basement in a little village missions pastor church, Mrs. Mock told me. And then I've been trying to pass it along. And somewhere along the line, somebody told you, and hopefully you've been involved in passing it along too. Romans 10 says that everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. How can they call on the one they haven't believed on? And how can they believe in the one they haven't heard about? You think about that, and he says, aren't you glad it doesn't say everyone who is perfect or always unselfish or doesn't sin will be saved? Because if that was the case, I'd be out of luck, you'd be out of luck. Instead, it says, whoever calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. And it's so simple, and yet it seems like it's so hard. I've talked to people, it's like, oh, it's not about getting your life in order. It's not about getting perfect. It's saying, I don't want to sin, Lord. I need you. Save me. I can't save myself. But salvation comes from Jesus, and that's the message we've been given to say, call on God, you need a Savior. But we have been given a message of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians we read, since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it's plain to you. For Christ's love compels us. For we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And then it goes on to say, if you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And God, who's reconciling us to himself through Christ, gives us the ministry of reconciliation, because God was reconciling us to him. And we're therefore Christ's ambassadors, committed to the message of reconciliation. And so Paul says to the Corinthians, and he says to us, therefore, be reconciled to God. I love that passage. He's saying, God has reconciled you to himself. Now you be an agent for him. It's not that we're better than anybody else. It's just we know we got a sin problem. We call on him. In a real sense, we're beggars telling other beggars where there's bread. Listen, I don't got the answers, but I know who does. And here he is. In John 20, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Isn't that amazing? God sent God the Son to earth, and now Jesus is saying, now it's your turn to go out. I'm sending you. But the great thing is, as we know, he sends us out with his authority, with his power, with his blessing. as he says, I send you, that means he's really saying, you're my apostle. You're my official sent one. And that's pretty incredible. The God of the universe would entrust me with this? Now, I've been at certain places where I need to get into a building, but they won't trust me with the key. God has given us the key. And what's the key? It's Jesus, of course. I love the children's song, This Little Light of Mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Are we going to hide it under a bush? Hide it under a bush? Oh, no. We don't want to be doing that. We want to go public with this message because it's good news that God is crazy in love with people. That sounds a little weird, but it's true. He loves people. He's so in love that he would sacrifice himself to make us right with him. Well, Matthew 28, in the English translation, it always says, go and make disciples. In the Greek, as you are going, make disciples. And then it goes on to say, as you're going and as you make disciples, baptize them and teach them. And those are among his last words. And he says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. I've never been in the military, but from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, fellas, you may get a lot of commands in a row, but the last command is the one you better follow. We want to pay attention to Jesus' last word. As you're going, make disciples and be my witnesses, and I will be with you. Because as believers, we want to gather. We need to grow. It's important to give of ourselves, but we've also got to go. In John 15, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that'll last. We grow a garden, and sometimes it grows well, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we wait until that tomato gets just right, and sometimes we forget about that tomato, and it goes bad before we get to it. And that fruit doesn't last, and it's all it's good for is feeding the chickens or making compost. But we want to have fruit that will last. And what's going to last in this world is God, his word, and people. People will go on. And what's going to really help them, the fruit that's last, is letting them know about our Savior. And we're so privileged to be part of God's plan. It should blow our minds. Wow, the one who created everything wants me to be part of what he wants to do. What's God that he's mindful of us? I don't know, other than the fact that he does care for us and that he is and that he says everyone is valuable. You know how Paul responded? I want to testify to what God has done for me. And God has uniquely prepared and crafted us to be able to do that. If you're here today and you've never called upon the name of the Lord, today's a great day. Tell him you don't need to be in charge. You realize you aren't. Things are out of control. He's the only one. Thank him for taking the punishment you deserve. Thank him for dying in your place. And turn away from what's wrong and follow him. If you didn't know this before, you do now. And if you are a child of God and you've heard this over and over, may the Lord spur in your heart so that we will share what God has done for us. You know, every time you read on the paper, the internet, or radio, or whatever the case may be, you hear a lot of bad news usually. But we've got good news. Good news to share. Well, let's get practical. How can we get what we've got out? Well, if you've got your hand out, and if you'd like to fill it in, you may. One of the first things we can start doing is we can pray. We can pray. Jesus was going through the towns and villages. He was teaching in their synagogues. He was preaching the good news. He was healing diseases and sicknesses. When he saw the crowds that were following him, we know he had great compassion on him. He said they were like sheep without a shepherd. And then he turned to his disciples and he said, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. We can pray, and Jesus himself said, ask me, talk to me. Paul himself wrote, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message, so we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. The Apostle Paul, super evangelist, the guy who'd studied God's word for his whole life, and then he went out in the desert and studied by himself. I mean, if anybody knew God and his word, it was Paul, and he is saying, pray for me, guys, that I can proclaim it clearly. I trip over my words. My tongue gets tied sometimes. And so if yours does, hey, you're in good company. Because Paul is saying, pray for me that I can get this message out. Because this is a supernatural task. It seems to me sometimes I'll talk to folks and they've got giant earplugs and they can't hear. And it's like, Lord, unstop their ears and help my tongue to work. I get nervous too. I remember years ago in Thailand, I traveled all over the place with the missionary. But one thing I noticed as we went village to village is he didn't always stop and tell everyone about Jesus. And so I asked him, I was kind of curious. I said, hey, you know, don't take this wrong. I noticed though, everywhere we go, you're not talking about Jesus, because I was thinking that's what missionaries do everywhere they go. Well, he said, well, you know, it is important for me to do that. But what I've been finding is, if the local people who say, I'm a Christian, don't live at all like a Christian, it's not doing much good. Because those in their village go, if that guy's a Christian, why would I want that? And so he said, I do tell people, but I also am really trying to train and raise up folks that will live out their faith. Because we've all known folks who've said, I love Jesus. And then you look at your life and you go, ay caramba. This is bad, and it makes the church, and it makes your own test. Then you got to come up and clean up the mess. You know, I saw a tract that I gave somebody once that said, just because mom burned the biscuits doesn't mean you stop eating. You know, ignore that guy. His life is out of whack. Jesus is not happy with how they're living either, but follow after him. So, but not only do we got to pray, but we've got to practice our faith. We've got to live it out. God wants perfection. He knows he's not going to get it, but he does want to see us growing in our faith. And this missionary wasn't looking for perfection either. He knew that new believers will go up and down. He knew in his own life he went up and down. By the way, this missionary has been there 20 years and is a great guy, and he does getting the word out. But we want to practice our faith. We want to practice what we preach. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And Paul says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice. We've got to put it into practice. We've got to keep in step with the Spirit. It's the same as what Jesus said in Matthew 5. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. You don't put your lamp under a bowl. No, you put it on its stand. And he goes, so let your light shine before men so they'll see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know, I found as I'm raising the kiddos, sometimes I'm a great example. I was like, guys, follow me as I follow Jesus. Sometimes I'm a terrible example. And so I get to be a good example by coming alongside them and saying, guys, I blew it. I'm sorry. And this is the way someone who is seeking to follow God makes it right, by saying, I blew it. I'd like to be an example by doing it right, but I also get to be an example by doing it wrong and then making it right. So when we don't do so hot in front of our neighbors, boy, the best thing you can do, maybe the strongest thing to show that you are changed by God, is to apologize to them sometimes. But we don't want to give God a bad name. We read in Colossians, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. How we live is one of the greatest promoters of the gospel. So a great way to start is be in prayer. Pray that people would be there to share. I mean, I pray that folks come alongside members of my family and share with them. And it's incredible because God is, and there's a man investing in my dad's life, which is so cool. So you can pray for folks to come alongside your family. You can pray for yourself, Lord, help me to know how to communicate clearly and not get all tongue-tied. We also want to practice and live our faith out. But there's another step in the go part of making disciples. And that's to prepare. We want to prepare. When I am asked to something, whether it be to share at the community watch meeting or teach the kids or something else, I go and I make little notes ahead of time because I want to have my ideas clarified. And I also, when I know I may be interacting with someone, I I like to review my notes, whether it be the Romans Road or different illustrations on sharing my faith, because I know my brain tends to go fuzzy too. And so I go through some of these illustrations. Not that I want it to be the canned presentation, but I'm convinced that God can put supernaturally stuff in your brain that's not there to begin with. I think he's more likely to use stuff you've studied up on. Just like when you were a kid, you didn't study all week and then you prayed before the test. You know, that didn't usually work that hot. But if you'd studied all week long and then you get in the test, you get really nervous, you say, Lord, help me to remember what I've studied. He's more likely to answer that prayer. He's good in that way. And so I'm trying to constantly review so that I can share clearly. And Peter says, in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you for the reason, for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Be preparing not only your mind, but your heart. You know, and this year, in some of our small groups and other environments, we're going to give you some tools of simple illustrations you can share. One of them might be the wordless book. And if you've been around kids or any length of time in ministry, you've seen the wordless book, and it's one of my favorite books, and it's really easy to read. It has no words, but it's got colors, and I should have brought one up here. It's got a gold page, and it represents heaven, and God's perfect, and he's good, and he's created this wonderful place, and then you turn to the next page, and it's the color is black, but we call it the dark page, and it represents sin and darkness and problems, and we can't have that sin in heaven with God. And so, well, what are we going to do? Well, then we turn and there's the red page, and the red represents what Christ has done for us and how he shed his blood on our behalf to cover our darkness and our sin. And when he does that, he turns our hearts, makes them clean, and it's a white page, and God transforms us, and then we can be right with God and go to heaven someday. But in the meantime, we have the green page. We want to grow in our faith. We can read God's word and gather with his people and pray and share others. And many years ago, I was given like this little wordless book bracelet, and I'm not a bracelet guy. I don't wear that kind of stuff, but I had the stick shift on my car, and so I stuck it over that, and I was riding around with my brother-in-law, and he said, hey, what's that? Are those hippie beads? I'm like, no. He said, well, what is it? Well, he asked, so I told him. It was cool. And I think that happened to Lucy earlier this week, because at Good News Club, we'd made those, and somebody asked, hey, what are those? And I made those with the Trail Life boys I'm working with. And I was so encouraged, because those kids could point and go, they got the gold, the red, the black, the green. They knew it. The gospel is pretty simple. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was raised, he was buried and raised the third day. It's pretty simple, and sometimes we make things too complicated. I know that some people have really big issues, and some of them have intellectual questions, and it's important to try to answer them. I know some people have been hurt by other Christians, members of the church, and there's some emotional issues. I know some folks just want to do their thing, but really what we're being asked to do is, hey, let me tell you what God has done for me. And this is the truth. There's a holy God. We're separated from him. He wants to have a relationship, and here's how. And so we want to be praying. We want to be living out our faith. It's important to prepare. But then there's another step. We've got to actually open our mouths at some point. You might have heard the old St. Francis saying, supposedly he said something to the effect of, preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. You know, there is some truth in that. I think what he was really saying was kind of similar to James 2, where you say you believe, let's see the evidence. It's one thing to talk, it's another thing to walk. And Pastor Rick from the fellowship wrote this. He said, in a world where people haven't actually heard the gospel, just living well will not do. We must eventually say something. Faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. He goes on to say that you don't need to get your dump truck with 10 yards of gospel and theology and dump it on their heads. His suggestion was start with the bare minimum. Everyone's into self-identifying these days. Self-identify as a Christian. When it comes up in conversation, let people know, I go to church. I've been reading the Bible. I'm a follower of Jesus. Another easy way to do is simply offer to pray for someone. And I found most people, when I've said that, they're like, okay. And sometimes I pray with them then, and sometimes I say, I will, and then I go do it. And it's amazing, as you get to know folks, sometimes those conversations come up. Remember, you're not pushing people. You're not preaching. You're not pounding on them with your giant family Bible. You're just sharing, but you're sharing what's important to you. And hopefully that's God. So we want to pray. We want to practice and live our faith out, prepare. And now, this is not the best, I like alliteration, but profess or proclaim. To profess is to affirm one's faith or allegiance. Proclaim is to publicly talk about it. I'm not saying you got to get yourself an apple crate and stand out front of Shies or Lucky's and say, repent. I am saying we've got to actually talk and share. Mark wrote what Jesus had said to a man who had just gone through the ringer, and Jesus had healed him. He said, go to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. And Paul wrote to Philemon and said, I pray you may be active in sharing your faith so you'll have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Isn't that interesting? As you share your faith, Philemon, you will better understand what you've got so you'll understand more what you can give. It's kind of like being a teacher. If you want to grow in your faith, study it well enough that you can communicate it. And then Jesus says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. But you know, Acts 1, we can start here in our Jerusalem with our neighbors, with our friends, with our family. Judea and Samaria, I mean, going out a little farther geographically. It also may be crossing some cultural barriers. Maybe it's talking to the person on the other side of the bridge or has a little different life than you typically do. The ends of the earth are places like Cambodia and Thailand, which I'm familiar with. But all peoples everywhere are important. Or it's not a mistake that Jesus says to the disciples, start here and then move your way out. Start here, but keep on going. You know, you're not called to be God's defense attorney. You're not his salesman. You've got to share the news of what he's done for you. I know that sometimes it's almost easier to go somewhere that you don't know person from boo than it is your family and friends that you live with. But we still need to take the step. Good old Mrs. Mock, my junior church teacher. You know what? I'm convinced that she had spent time in prayer for all the kiddos that would come her way. And she'd pray that they'd come to know and love Jesus. And she lived out her faith. She was very godly. And I looked up to her. She prepared her lessons faithfully, and she was able to explain the truth of the gospel and the fact that there was a God, and us kids needed him, and that we had done wrong, and he stepped in to deal with our sin. And if you put your faith in him, he will take your sins away and give you forgiveness and live with you and love you forever. And as a kid, I couldn't help but say, count me in. I want that. And that's really what it's about. Pray for others. Live your faith out. Be ready when the opportunity arises. And then plainly say what God has done for you. And then watch God at work. And so as a church, as we gather together, we want to celebrate who our God is. We want to grow in our faith and become more like Jesus and spur each other on. We want to give of ourselves so we can be a blessing. And then ultimately, we as a church want to be going to the highways and byways and everywhere in between. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the good news of the gospel. And Lord, I thank you that it is life transforming. I thank you that it is practical. I thank you that it's good for young and old, male and female. Every single culture needs it. Every people group. Lord, thank you. It's relevant to us today. Thank you for the salvation you have brought for us. We don't deserve it, but we will praise you. And God, give us courage. Give us courage to bring you up in conversation. Help us, Lord, to speak about you with winsome, wonderful words. Because God, you are truly wonderful. And we give you thanks. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.